You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are very, very excited to be joined by our next guest, a comedian, a comedy writer, and now an author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here. Good morning, Felipe. How you doing?
Hi, Gene. Thanks for having me. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
It is. I was so amazed. I texted you or I emailed you last week and I said I would love a copy of your book, which I don't know how you did that. Seriously, that is the fastest anything has ever come through the mail. Do you know Louis DeJoy personally?
But my incredible book agent, Andrew Blatt, at William Morris Endeavor and her assistant, Caroline, who like mobilized because I was not home. I wanted to, if I had been home, I would have mailed it to you myself. But I was doing a book event in San Francisco. So I just emailed them and was like, can you please send a book to Jane? And they were very quick.
It was, I couldn't believe it.
I think they sent it before you even asked because literally we got it. We're like, how is this here now?
How is this possible?
This is how easily we are like amazed. We're like, the mail is so fast.
Well, now you are going to be in the area, correct, on the 10th?
Yes, on the 10th, I will be in Milwaukee at Boswell Books doing a book event with my wife, who is also an author and an Emmy Award-winning comedy writer. She writes for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And so we'll be in conversation talking a little bit about America and about my book about immigration, my funny book about immigration.
Yes. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. This is a very serious topic, obviously, especially in the days that we are living in right now. But you take a very lighthearted approach to explain to people all of the different processes people have to go through if they want to immigrate here, including, you know, I had no idea, Felipe, until I looked at your book, how many different visas there are.
And that's not all of them. That's just the ones that I found like fun to write about. That's yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of really boring ones. Yeah.
There are, but there are exceptions, you know, for if a company wants to expand, if you want to come here to start a business, if you want to do, I mean, it is remarkable how I had no idea. I had no idea. And for me, a native of this country, if I find this confusing, I can only imagine how confusing it is for people who want to move here.
Well, it's funny because to me, what's really interesting, having been here and been an immigrant in this country for 12, 13 years, I came here in 2013, so 12 years almost now, is that Americans have a lot of opinions on immigration. Everyone in America has an opinion on immigration, but very few people know how the system really works. And you see it all the time in social media, and you see it all the time in conversation, you know, with your neighbors, your friends. Everyone's like, oh, well, they just need to do this, they just need to do that.
Just go through the process.
Exactly. Do things the right way, which to me is the biggest myth that exists out there, because the right way changes all the time, you know. And the right way is, even now, we saw like day one of the second Trump administration, the right way was to apply for asylum using an app that the government had created. And they shut down that app within hours of the second administration starting. Now, you can debate whether that's good or bad. That's everyone's entitled to their opinion about what that is. But the truth of the matter, the objective truth, is that the right way was to do that. And they just decided, actually, that is no longer the right way. You cannot do that. So the idea of coming here the right way is such a myth because it's shifting sands. It changes all the time.
And we see that, unfortunately, with people in certain immigrant populations that were granted, say, temporary protected status.
Yeah, like TPS. Exactly.
TPS. And now that was legal. Mm-hmm. That was legal. These people are here legally. And then the Trump administration decided, yeah, we're going to revoke that TPS. And now they all have to leave. And they've been here for 20 years.
Yeah, and I think it also is a testament to the failure of the system itself. You know, this is supposed to be a funny book, and I really don't want to get too bogged down on the technicalities of everything, but TPS is in and of itself. It's in its name. It's temporary. And these people have been here for 20 years, and they should have a way to stay and to remain and they've made this place their home. But what really this proves is that there hasn't been any comprehensive immigration reform in 30 years since Bill Clinton was president. And so we have a system that's like, we've been papering over the cracks for 30 years. Yep. And all of a sudden it's become this thing where someone can just come in and say like, well, I'm removing the temporary out of the temporary protected status. The temporary element is over. And so, oh crap, we should have done the reform so that this didn't happen.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing too for me, Felipe. By the way, if you're just joining us, we are talking to Felipe Torres Medina, who is the author of America Let Me In. Choose your immigration story, and we're talking about the book and the process. And one thing that I feel like, you know, if you can take a step back, I'm speaking for myself right now. You see the left kick the can down the road because I feel like they were afraid to make hard choices or say the hard things out loud.
Yes.
Whereas Republicans now just get to say exactly what they've been thinking for a long time. And this is where we are because what they are doing seems like, quote, some movement. Like there's been very little movement, but because they're doing something, people will see this as, well, this is a start at least, right? We'll fix it later. We'll bring the people back who got that. Those were all mistakes. But the problem is we're seeing even the mistakes. They're like, nope, they can stay down in El Salvador or whatever country they're going to. And I mean, I just feel like it's, as you just said, it's a failure of decades for both sides to really have a frank conversation about a topic that at the end of the day, not everyone is going to agree on a solution.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the system exists and there are ways to do it. But I think a little bit of the point that I try to make in the book and a little bit of the things that I want to point out is the satire that exists in the book is that the system works if you have money.
Yes.
That to me was like one of the biggest things that I found out doing all the research for the book. You know, I found it out firsthand with my own immigration experience, but there's also all the other kinds of visas. And in truth, like having money is the biggest hack. And what we've created is a system where we are rewarding having money over many other things that we might need. You know, there's genuine examples in other countries of how things could work differently. I remember Pete Buttigieg, when he was running for president in 2020, suggested something that I don't know if it would have worked, but it would have been different. That was called the Heartland Visa, which was visas for skilled workers in jobs that are needed in particular parts of the Heartland where there is no where there are no people who can do those jobs. And so that's kind of similar to the way that Canada issues province visas.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if it would have worked, but it would have been something and it would have been different. And we would have talked about immigration not as something that needs to be corrected or vilified. We would have talked about it as a way to fulfill the promise of America, right? To mm-hmm. fill jobs, to make communities better. You know, the inaction on the left leads to the discourse of they're eating the cats and the dogs.
Yes.
That is a straight line. If you create a community, if you create a sense of like these people are coming here to work, these people are coming here to build community rather than they're on temporary protected status. Technically, it's legal. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it, really. Just ignore it. You create that straight line. Whereas if you form a narrative around immigration as a positive, which it is a positive for our country, and we can see it, it's tangibly a positive economically, then you can avoid these narratives and these conversations about immigration is all bad. Because people in their communities will see that it isn't all bad.
It sounds like to me, Felipe, and I am not a very smart person, that you are saying that what we need to do is in the overarching theme of it is come together have a long conversation about this and come up with solutions. Because what I'm hearing from you is just these are trying to create maybe not the perfect, maybe not permanent, but something better than we have, because that's how we move forward. And I know as a comedian, that's what you signed up for, is to become an explainer of yeah. these issues to the people out there. Because I'm a comedian too. I know everyone looks to me for advice. I'm like, I have a political science degree. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, look, that's the other thing. I've been touring with this book for a little bit, thankfully. And I've been able to go to all sorts of parts of the country. I was in Boston, where like the week or the 2 weeks after ICE detained this student at Tufts University, mm-hmm. who has now thankfully been released. And I was in Miami last month. And it's one of those things where you can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities in a way that's very visceral and real. And, you know, in the end, I'm like, but I'm a comedian. You know, I totally feel the fear, and I totally feel the sadness. And, you know, it is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
Well, and we do that on this program, too. Yeah. We are living in very serious times. We all appreciate that, and we talk about that a lot. But for the last half an hour of our show, Felipe, we call it audio sorbet, where we talk about silly, non-important things, and then yeah. we wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Because I just think if we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I could ask you a thousand. I have other questions I want to ask you. Mainly, I want to talk to you about just your experience with that process too, and we can talk about that more when we come back. Because, as you said, you are an immigrant. You've been here for 12 years. You know that process. You've gone through it, and you have a unique outlook. From, you know, it's not, you work on a television show, so I imagine that they may look at it as like, well, you are working in an industry. You are a skilled worker in that sense. And trying to figure out what your journey through this process has been versus what other people may go through. And I'm interested to hear about that from you as well. So,
but as you mentioned, Felipe, it takes money. It takes mm-hmm. money. Yeah. If you want to emigrate here, this is an L1 visa. We're not going to go into this a whole bunch, but if you want to file for an L1 visa, it is going to cost you $460, $500, $190, $2,500. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's just fees. Yeah, I think that was my wife's idea when I was writing those. The book has explainers on all these visas. So it's like, I think you should list how the fees.
What it costs.
In all these kinds of visas. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because it actually helps your prove your point.
We're going to continue our conversation with Felipe Torres Medina. He is a comic, a writer, and the author of the book, America, Let Me In. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming after the 10:30 news, audio sorbet for today. You know, there's a national day for everything. Mm-hmm. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, National Yoga Day, whatever day. What should be your national day?
National
what are we missing?
Greg Day. I like
national
it.
Beyond just National Greg Day. What would be your day? You need a day. What is your national day? That's our audio sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the You're in Trouble Now edition. Stay tuned for that. Currently, our guest is an author. He writes for late night television, and he wrote America, Let Me In, a Choose Your Immigration Story. Felipe Torres Medina is here. It's a wonderful, lighthearted look at our immigration system. It's a lighthearted way to look at what a mess our immigration system is.
There it is. And earlier, I was alluding to the journey that you had as far as your immigration travels, and from coming here to to where you are right now in America. Without, I'm not saying like what's your status, but like just what your experience is, because honestly, you working in television, the only thing I have is listening to John Oliver talk about his. And he said, even as a guy who started on television, it's still a scary process. It's a long, expensive process with hoops you have to jump through. And I just wanted to know if you could speak on your journey thus far and what you've gone through.
It's a scary, long, and expensive process. I moved here in 2013. I came here to study. I came on a student visa. And after that, I did something called OPT. And this stuff is all in the book, told in a like slightly fictionalized version of my life as part of one of the paths you can take in the book, because as the title suggests, it's kind of interactive. So you can pick different kinds of visas, different kinds of stories, and see which one you get. But one of these is mine. So I got something called OPT, which is what students get to be able to work here for a year. Some students get 3 years if they're in STEM. I was in the arts, so I only got 1 year. And after that, I got something called an O-1 visa, which is an Alien of Extraordinary Ability visa, which is a ridiculous name. And you can tell how, even as I was starting to like become a comedian here, I was like surrounded by the absurd.
Yeah.
Lots of material.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, you know, because this visa is called Alien of Extraordinary Ability. It makes you sound like you're like in the X-Men or you're like Alf. You know,
you are ET. You are ET, essentially.
Alf reference. Yes.
And so, you know, I was starting to kind of like come to terms with all that. And also, I had a lot of friends asking me, like, oh, like, well, you know, I had, again, these are like young liberal progressives in New York being like, oh, but you went to school here, so you're fine. Right. And I had to be like, what? No.
No.
You have no idea how the immigration system works. Like, no, I have to get like visas and I have to like do it under certain time frames. And if I don't do it, I have to leave. You know, I had issues with professors at my university. I went to Boston University, a great school. I learned a lot. But I had professors who had no idea how the system works. And they were like, oh, well, you can just get like a barista job. Because I went for to get my master's in screenwriting. And they were like, you can just move out to LA and like get a barista job and write. And I was like, I can't. That's like legally not allowed if you're on a student visa. Even if you get a work permit, you have to work in your area of expertise on the thing you went to school for. So you can't just get like a day job, a survival job, and then like work on your art on the side until you get like the big break, you know, kind of like the idealized vision of how you make it in Hollywood.
Also, can you just imagine that was the fix? Like, just, hey, everybody just go work at Starbucks or a coffee shop. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And that's, I mean, and that, I think that ultimately is the root of the problem too, is that, you know, you think of the problem with this discussion being those who disagree and want to do extreme things. But the bigger problem, I would say, are those who support you as a person and being here, but know almost nothing about it. So just think, well, as long as I support them, good work on me, I'm good to go. You know what I mean? So they alleviate themselves the responsibility of being proper advocates versus saying just like,
you'll be fine.
I say this all the time. I don't know. I think you should ask an expert because I can't tell you that answer. I don't know this experience. Ask Felipe, but don't ask Felipe. He's got other things to do. Buy his book.
Well, you can ask me. You can buy the book. But I do have to point out that I am not an immigration lawyer or an activist. I am a comedian.
Right. Important distinction.
Wait a minute. I thought all comedians were activists. That's what I've been told these past few years. I mean, if you have a podcast, you are basically a humanitarian advocate.
That's true. That's true. If you have a podcast, you speak the truth. Joe Rogan taught me that.
Felipe Torres Medina is our guest. He's the author of America, Let Me In, A Choose Your Immigration Story. It's very funny. You should pick it up.
And you're going to be here. You're going to be in Milwaukee on Thursday at Boswell Books. I will make sure to put the information on our show notes. And I'm pretty much sure I'm going to come down there and see. You said and your wife are going to be there, right?
Correct. It's there. It's at 6:30 p.m. at Boswell.
Perfect.
And it's a lovely little bookstore.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll see.
We're excited.
Yep. I'll put that in the show notes and we'll get down there and see you. And thank you so, so much. And congratulations, Felipe.
We would love to have you back. There's a lot more to discuss. I would love to hear some of the comments you're hearing from folks after you address them at these at these appearances. So we will be in touch. And thank your thank your publicist again for this is the fastest book that has ever come through the mail. It's a miracle. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much, Felipe. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also email the show directly if you have a guest to suggest a topic you think we should talk about, something going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, Oshkosh, listening on WISS and Hayward on WBZH, wherever. You can always reach us at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have the app, you can leave a voice note too.
Yes, we love hearing the voice notes, whether you like us or not.
Just let us know we're still living rent-free in your head. It's always nice. This is the time we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to lighten things up just a little bit. Get away from the news.
Yeah.
So we can all take a breath.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit. National days.
There's tons of them.
There are national. Calvin, you were looking this morning. Woo! Today is, what was today?
It was like national. It's National Day.
It's National Day. There is a national day for everything. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Mm-hmm.
National Cookie Day. National Ice Cream Day. National Custard Day. If you had the opportunity, what would be your national day? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What would be your national day? 855-752-4842. Let us know what you would like to see.
Today is National Chocolate with Almonds Day. Well, I've never found a better way to ruin chocolate.
You don't like nuts in your chocolate?
I don't like almonds in my chocolate. Or what's the other one that's terrible? Not peanuts. Peanuts are fine. Also not nuts, actually. They're legumes. Sorry. Almonds and I can't think of the other one.
Cashews?
I love cashews. God, I'm the guy. When you have a thing of nuts.
Oh, the mixed?
I take all the cashews. They're mine.
You're the person.
They belong to me.
You are the person.
But yeah, I just, yeah. But there is a national. When you said earlier National Spa Day, I looked it up. There's actually not a National Spa Day.
Oh, there should be.
But it's National Relaxation Day. So it gets woven in with all the. So essentially, there's a National Audio Sorbet Day then. That's really what. Coming down. We should have that. National Audio Sorbet Day. So we can all as a country forget everything we disagree on for I'll start small, 30 seconds. One day a year where everybody just forgets what we all believe in.
Yes.
That we disagree with. And we just for 30 seconds just all take a deep breath together and think of one thing that makes us happy. Like puppies.
There will be someone who thinks puppies are annoying. There will be.
No, I'm not saying it has to be puppies. I'm saying you find the one thing
that makes you happy.
Makes you so happy. And then we all agree that there's something that makes us happy. And we take 30 seconds. National Audio Sorbet Day. There, I did it.
We can submit that. I don't know. There must be some place to submit these.
I'm sure it's Congress or something, so we're out of luck.
855-752-4842. Your national day, what would it be? Cassandra on the live stream sent this in earlier. She said, I'm going to be at my facial during Audio Sorbet, so I would like to add Dr. Pepper Day. Fair enough.
Well, then if we're...
Judgment-free zone.
If we're...
Can be any kind of day you want.
Absolutely. But I'm just going to say this. If we're going to do Dr. Pepper Day, we have to also do another day somewhere down the road, Mr. Pibb Day, because Mr. Pibb, as we know, is the working man's Dr. Pepper. He didn't get a degree. He just wants to get you a fine cola.
Do they still make Mr. Pibb?
Oh, absolutely.
They do.
It's delicious. It tastes exactly like Dr. Pepper.
Cheaper?
I doubt it. In today's economy, Jane, come on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
My national day.
Yeah, what I was going to say.
Because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, let's look it up. Okay.
National Sparkly Shoe Day.
National Sparkly Shoe Day.
I don't think it exists.
Kelly, just so you know, you're next. So
I think it should be a thing.
Okay, there is no recognized holiday called National Sparkly Shoe Day. However, there is a holiday called National Two Different Colored Shoe Day, which I think, though not sparkly, celebrates the fun of shoes.
To me, that is specific to clowns.
I'm currently wearing a shoe with three different colors, so what are you saying?
I assume that meant one shoe is one color and the other shoe is a color.
It says the day encourages people to embrace their uniqueness by wearing shoes with different colors. While not directly about sparkly shoes, the concept of celebrating individuality through footwear aligns with the idea of wearing eye-catching, perhaps even sparkly shoes. Now, that is vague language, because I don't know if they mean wear two different shoes or a shoe with different colors, because I would venture that most people wear shoes of different colors, because most sneakers
are multicolored.
Non-business shoes are of different colors.
Yeah.
So that is a weekday, and I mean W-E-A-K, not weekday.
Oh.
So I think we need to get on this. Sparkly Shoe Day needs to be a thing.
I think I could get some support for that.
You can be the spokesperson, Jane.
I'll be the spokesfoot.
Gross. All right.
If I can actually see.
Whoa, look at that. You can't see it at all. Just seeing some knee action there.
I'm only so stretchy.
Calvin, what would your day be? Would be National Greg Leave Me Alone Day, because...
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I knew it.
I don't know if I actually have a good one, but I have a bit of a funny story that relates to how odd of person or kid I was. When I was in second grade, we had this thing where you got to have a special Wednesday, they called it, where every kid got to pick a day in throughout the school year where they got to pick a theme day.
Every kid got to do this?
Every kid in second grade.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting.
And you were supposed to, they pulled names out of a hat and they were supposed to, everyone was supposed to have a partner, but the two classes had odd amounts or something. So I was the lone left and they gave me the option. You can pick your own day or you can join a group of three. Obviously, I picked my own day.
Naturally.
Yeah, because that's you. That's you.
So being the odd little second grader I was, most kids were picking like bring your pet to school day or like dinosaur day or like that kind of thing. My day was Renaissance Day. I don't know. I guess I got that because my aunt and uncle went to like the Renaissance Fair and I heard them talking about it. But I was like, that's going to be my day. We're going to talk about castles and swords and all that kind of stuff.
You must have been really popular.
We're going to talk about castles and swords and jousting and people dying of the Black Death. Renaissance Day.
For a second grader, that's pretty elevated, actually.
That's really funny,
Calvin.
That's hoity-toity, if you ask me.
That is hilarious.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I love ice cream.
What would your national day be if you had the opportunity? Carmela from Milwaukee texting in on listening on WAUK. Good morning. This isn't a tangible item, but I say National Pay It Forward Day.
I'd like that. Well, let's.
Or National Be Kind Day.
Okay, I think we're going to look that up because I think there's got to be something.
Do you think there's a Pay It Forward Day?
Something in that vein. Kind of like how Nationally Sparkly Shoe Day doesn't have a thing. But there, it's folded in.
I think it deserves its own day.
National Pay It Forward Day 2025. Let's see it. April 28th. We just missed
it.
National Pay It Forward Day.
There we go, Carmela.
PJ on the live stream says, going back to shoe discussion, I'm guessing Greg is wearing Vans. Well, PJ, you are wrong. I'm wearing Hokas because I am a 47-year-old man who has ankle problems and back problems, and I need a good support for these footsies.
What would be your national day if you had the opportunity to suggest one and get your national day? My national day would be Sparkly Shoe Day.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin's debating. Andrew on the live stream, also listening on WAUK, says, how about a national live free in your head day? Where we celebrate and the voice the things that are living rent-free.
I would totally do that right now, buddy, but what I'm thinking about is not FCC compliant.
Exactly, so, yes. I like that idea, though. Yeah. What about you, Greg?
See, I looked, everything I kind of came up with had its own day or something akin to. I say National Luthiers Day, and like it's not very funny.
National what?
Luthiers Day. Luthiers are people who work, so people who make violins and guitars. They create them. They are creator stringed instruments. I love luthiers. I love the art, especially guitar making. But they already have a National Guitar Day, which celebrates that skill. But I just like the idea of celebrating people who have made it their life's work to dedicate themselves to what is a true artful craftsmanship. And it's beautiful. So, yeah, that would be my day. I know.
It's nothing, very deep.
I know.
It's very deep from Greg Bach this morning.
You're very welcome. It's no National Renaissance Day, let me tell you.
Well, that's true. A few things are.
I'd like the National Golden Age Day, please. Thank you very much.
PJ, also on the live stream, Greg, National Tattoo Day is July 17th.
Which is the exact number of tattoos I have, 17.
You do?
I have 17 tattoos. So I will, and that might be done.
What would your day be? National days. There's a national day for everything.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Peter, listening in Green Bay on WGBW. I don't have my own, but my favorite one is National Lost Sock Remembrance Day.
Dude, I can't even tell you, like just this past week, I'm like, I know I have two of these.
Yes.
What happened to them?
Yes.
I.
When you come out of the dryer, right?
Yeah.
I have a stack of lone socks on the table I have where I fold things. Someone ate them. I don't know what happened to the other sock.
Bridget has a Ziploc gallon bag full of them. She's collected over the years. I'm like, we can throw these out. You know, we can just start anew.
Right.
I feel like some of my socks. Socks are buried in with her laundry too, because it's just, you know, we do separate laundry just because it just makes it. I have far less laundry.
Sure.
That's not a statement on women or anybody. It's just a fact of a matter.
It just is.
But yeah, I have a feeling that if I did a real audit of our basement, of our laundry area,
they're in there somewhere.
Oh, I found 38 socks. Awesome.
EJ, lost socks equal missing Tupperware lids.
Oh, dude, don't get me started on our Tupperware. Yeah. Oh, my.
I do that once a month now.
Yes.
I go through my plastics drawer and match everything, and everything that doesn't match just goes.
But what I need, Jane, is I need a system of storage for my storage. Like
storage for your storage?
In our Tupperware cabinet, it's just a cacophony of items.
Yeah.
And you open, and it happens right, you open it up, lids on the floor.
And nothing matches anything.
No! And it's always just a little bit. It's never like, oh, here's an oval one and here's a circle one. It's here's a circle container. Here's a circle container that's just a wee too small. Just a wee.
National Storage for Storage Day.
Exactly.
Whatever day you would like to have, we hope it's a happy one.
I think on behalf of the show, we should lobby for a National Audio Sorbet Day. Where we take a moment out of the light.
Well, we got to find out who we need to lobby for this. Who do we have to approach to make
what
this happen?
Derek Van Orton's phone number and call him.
Oh, yeah. He'll be real behind it. real quickly, Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Jack, we got about 60 seconds left. What do you want to say?
Real quickly, how about National Just Leave Me Alone Day? Because I've had a lot of days like that.
I think everyone would get behind that one, Jack. That is fantastic. Appreciated. All right, stay with us when we return.
It exists.
It does.
October the 4th, every year, National Leave Me Alone Day.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. There you go, Jack. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is coming up next. You're in trouble now. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call and or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Megan Kling is going to be joining us.
Yes.
She had an experience. She was pregnant, had some difficulties in her pregnancy, and she is going to share her story on what happened and what she had to deal with when she went through this. So Megan Kling is going to be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Should be a very, very impactful conversation.
This is going to be our second conversation now with someone who's gone through this.
Yes.
We talked to a woman named Lauren a few months back with Dr. Lyerly. Tomorrow we'll find that interview and link it in so you can hear both of them. But we're continually hearing these stories from individuals all over the country who are going through very, very...
They can't get the health care they need.
Exactly.
Is essentially what it comes down to. So Megan Kling will be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Also, some breaking news that happened earlier today. The IRS has decided that preachers can now endorse politicians from the pulpit. They weren't allowed to do that for a really long time because they are tax exempt. And now it has been decided that they can. So they can be preaching from the pulpit. That's one thing we'll talk about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has really good news, apparently. The 34 million able-bodied adults who she says are on Medicaid, We got jobs on farms that are going to be opening up for you.
And Governor Evers as an advocate in rural hospital closures in a person you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
We'll be talking more about that tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Kind of a surprise from one of Wisconsin's lawmakers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. It is 10:50, just about 10:55. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from UPI. Credit going out to Ben Hooper, one of our favorite reporters.
Ben Hooper!
Headline reads, medical clinic pleads for a stop to unsolicited urine samples. A medical clinic in Scotland... is asking local residents to stop bringing in inappropriate
versus appropriate
or unsolicited urine samples. The Salton Surgery in Aberdeenshire in Scotland said on social media that doctors and staff at clinics have been inundated with a high volume of unsolicited urine samples, often in not approved containers instead of the sterile sample containers that you would normally do that. Quote, please be advised, we are no longer able to accept urine samples unless they have been specifically requested by the practice. This change is necessary due to the high volume of inappropriate or unsolicited samples being submitted, which affects our ability to provide timely care to all patients, unquote.
Weird thing about this story, it's all from one guy.
Each unsolicited sample handed in requires time and testing and resources and all of those things. One doctor speaking anonymously said multiple clinics have had to put up signs asking people not to bring in unsolicited urine samples. Quote, we really, really want patients to speak to a clinician for a proper medical assessment before we ask them to bring a sample in. And when they do, we will give them sample bottles to return instead of random containers, which can sometimes be inappropriate.
Which is a very diplomatic way of saying, stop bringing us your bags of wee.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because remember like the old days when people would diagnose themselves on WebMD?
And they're still doing it.
But they've taken a step further. They're like, you know, I think something's wrong.
Here's my urine.
I'm going to go in a bag and take it to the local place. And
can you run this?
Just, I thought you could use this.
No. Let me know what you find.
Yeah. Does this look weird?
Does it look good to you? The doctor said the culprits are often older patients seeking to be tested for urinary tract infections without first consulting with a doctor.
Love, did it hurt when you did it? No, you're good.
You're good. You're good.
This is what I like is that a doctor had to talk anonymously. Like there is a lone band of urine result seekers who are just that dictatorial. And they're like, who talked? Who said something? Who said something?
Here we have it. Don't drop off your unsolicited urine samples in Scotland. I think that's something we can all live
by. I feel
like
that's something that America would have done. Yeah. You know, I feel like Scotland's way more way more logical. They're like, I'm just going to pop over to the place and ask. Fine. And but no, I can full blown see Americans being like, here's a bag of pee. Tell me about myself.
Take a look. Let me know how it looks.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next on the Vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up globally on the app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.